The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. A questionnaire may help women talk about sexual health. Study. While sexual problems are relatively common in women with multiple sclerosis, it can still be difficult to openly discuss their experiences with their doctor. A questionnaire especially tailored for women with MS, called the Sexual Dysfunction Management and Expectations Assessment in Multiple Sclerosis, Female, or SEA-MSF, may help them discuss these concerns and potential therapies with their doctor, a French study suggests. The study, Sexual Dysfunction in Women with Multiple Sclerosis, Expectations Regarding Treatment and Information, and Utility of the SEA-MSF Questionnaire, was published in Sexual Medicine. Sexual dysfunction is estimated to affect from 40 to 95% of women with MS, with some studies suggesting it could have greater impact on moral and quality of life than some of the physical impairments caused by MS, the researchers wrote. Yet while 83% of women with MS have said they would like to discuss sexual problems at their medical appointments, between 63 to 94% never do. A team of researchers in France conducted a questionnaire to evaluate the expectations and sexual dysfunction in women with MS. The team used the SEA-MSF questionnaire, the only one that evaluates patient expectations. The study's primary goal was to evaluate MS patients' expectations regarding treatment and information on sexual dysfunction. Secondary goals included assessing the link between women's demographic and medical factors with their expectations, as well as the utility of the SEA-MSF. The 20-minute questionnaire was composed of 8 questions, with each score assigned to one of 3 grouping that ranged from low expectations, score 0 to 1, to high expectations, 2 to 4, to very high expectations, 3 or 4. In total, 87 women, mean age 47, diagnosed with MS for a mean of 14 years, and attending physical and rehabilitation consultations at 4 centers in France, were included in the study. More than half, 59.8%, reported sexual dysfunction, but only a fraction of them, 22.4%, had discussed it with a health professional. Most women said they were interested in getting more information on sexual dysfunction and potential treatments. 68% reported high expectations and 48% very high expectations regarding information about sexual dysfunction. About the possibility of treating their sexual dysfunction, 80% reported high and 50% very high expectations. A total of 72.9% had high expectations about treating their low sexual desire, 76.3% for difficulties in sexual arousal, and 74.1% for achieving orgasm. Also, 77.2% expected the treatment for sexual dysfunction would boost their self-esteem. In 81% of cases, women sought treatment for sexual concerns for themselves, and in 85% of cases for the benefit of their partner and/or as a couple. Researchers also found that the presence of sexual dysfunction or having discussed it with a health professional were significantly associated with high or very high expectations for information on sexual dysfunction. Having a regular sexual partner and the ability to walk, with or without aid, were associated with high expectations on treatments for sexual dysfunction. The total SEA-MSF score was significantly higher for women who reported having experienced sexual problems and had a regular sexual partner and had already discussed the topic with a health professional. No correlation was seen between SEA-MSF scores and demographic factors, including age, postmenopause, time since MS diagnosis, self-reported fatigue levels, or urinary or fecal incontinence. The SEA-MSF questionnaire was deemed a useful tool by 83% of participants. A total of 70% of women agreed that it should be used when discussing sexuality with their doctors, and 90% agreed that it would aid in treating sexual dysfunction. More than half, 65.3%, said they preferred that their doctor raise the subject of sexuality and sexual problems. The majority, 61.5%, preferred to discuss the matter, while 35.9% preferred to fill out a questionnaire followed by a discussion. Only 10% said they preferred a questionnaire alone. To date, the SEA-MSF is the only questionnaire validated in women with MS for the evaluation of sexual expectations, the researchers wrote. In the present study, the women felt strongly that this questionnaire represented a useful way for them to introduce and then discuss the subject of their sexual dysfunction with their doctor. The team also noted that the discussion between the patient and the doctor with regard to sexuality and sexual function must also include realistic goal setting as an aim of treatment. This news article was written by Patricia Anasio, Ph.D., on April 7, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Through the Looking Glass, a column by Beth Ulla, published on April 6, 2022. The Building Blocks of Becoming a Busy Bee. Serendipity. Look for something, find something else, and realize that what you found is more suited to your needs than what you thought you were looking for. A quote from Lawrence Block. When the world was thrown into lockdown at the dawn of COVID-19, I was already an old hand at functioning in isolation. In 2019, the disease-modifying therapy I was taking to treat multiple sclerosis, Lemtrada, or alemtuzumab, left me immunocompromised a year before COVID-19 crashed into our lives. So I stayed at home while my immune system recovered. The funny thing is, I had just reached a place where I was well enough to interview for jobs when the pandemic hit. Since I was classified as vulnerable, I was once again thrown into isolation. For those who didn't have a job like me, the lockdown was pretty boring. The days bled into each other, and time became fluid. I found things to keep me occupied. Writing, cultivating plants, and knitting, to name a few. But it was more about passing the time and padding out the days before I could finally leave the house again and dive back into life. The bizarre silver lining of this situation is that it pushed me to begin my master's degree in neuroscience. I wanted to do something worthwhile with my time, so in January 2021, I embarked on the first building block of the busy bee life that I'm living today. It was both exciting and slightly overwhelming. I had to learn how to study again. My MS fatigue never ceased to remind me that all the tips and tricks in my arsenal from my undergraduate degree were now redundant. I must now study in different ways, and it took time to find what works for me. Whereas I hadn't thought twice about studying 6 hours straight in the library before, now fatigue dictates it has to happen in shorter blocks of time. Or instead of pages and pages of handwritten notes I used to scribe, now my numbness limits my writing, and I find audio is my friend. As my routine with my degree became more comfortable, I had room for other things. Lockdown was beginning to ease, and we were finally allowed to see family and friends once more. There was space in my mind again. The brakes that COVID-19 had pumped on life were wearing down. In April 2021, my husband and I found ourselves in a position to buy a house. There's a reason people say that buying a house is one of the top three most stressful things in life. With jumping through legal hoops, maintaining my studies, and seeing family and friends, life seemed to be getting busy again. In addition, we're embarking on our fertility journey. Like the shimmering strands of a spider's web, all aspects of my life became interlaced. It took a bit of time to catch my breath. Everything that would have happened slowly was suddenly happening all in one go, at breakneck speed. I had to adjust again and relearn the art of prioritization. For the first time in 2 years, I had enough on my plate to need to prioritize. Once I'd caught my breath, I recognized a feeling of serendipity. I'd been stagnant for so long because of my MS treatment, not to mention COVID-19 bulldozing my return to the land of the living. It felt unusual to be busy at first. It was almost like I'd forgotten what it was like to have a life. I see in hindsight now that viewing each element of my life as an individual building block really did help me learn how to live at my newly busy pace and not just exist as I did in isolation. To read more columns from Beth Ulla and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.